I speak to you in the name of Jesus, in whom we are one. Amen. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Against that dazzling portrait of human unity, let me set two quotes. The first is from an essay by Stephen Jay Gould, who taught geology, biology, and the history of science at Harvard for many years. For 30 years, Gould wrote a monthly column in Natural History magazine, and periodically those essays were collected into books. In one of those books, in an article on human equality, Gould wrote this: "This essay can be summarized in a single phrase, a motto, if you will. Human equality is a contingent fact of history. Equality is not true by definition. It is neither an ethical principle, though equal treatment may be, nor a statement about norms of social action. It just worked out that way. 100 different and plausible scenarios for human history would have yielded other results. They didn't happen. Human equality is a contingent fact of history." The second quote is from my younger son, John. When he was about 8, he discovered a sad truth in life. One day after school, he said, "Some kids at school come from rich families, and some kids come from poor families, and some kids come from average families. I can tell by the way they dress." Despite my feeble attempt to minimize such differences, John continued with a kind of thoughtful sense of truth apprehended. "I think the rich kids will always be rich, and the poor kids will always be poor, and the average kids will always be average." Notwithstanding Stephen Gould's conclusion from biological history, we learn early in life that not all people are not the same or equal. Some are smart, some are not so smart. Some are beautiful, some are not so beautiful. Some are rich, and some are poor. In theory, these distinctions reflect the rich diversity of human life. Morally neutral, a cause for rejoicing. But in fact, it matters a great deal who you are and what you are. And all human societies display inequities and discrimination. Eventually, all of us have to acknowledge the order of life that John discovered at 8. In the ancient world, the distinctions were even more pronounced. In that day, there was no advocate for the poor, for slaves, or for women. And each group in succession added its own list of distinctions. The Jews, for example, were conquered, subjugated, and taxed by the Romans. But in the morning prayers, the Jewish male thanked God that thou hast not made me a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. St. Paul no doubt prayed that prayer as a pious young Pharisee. He was proud of his status. What an irony then that he was thrown back on his past in writing to the Galatians. At the beginning of this letter, he validated his message by pointing to the change God had wrought in him. Then the tempo of the letter quickens. Paul reminds the Galatians that God has accepted them, all of them. And then those astounding words appear: "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Gentile. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus." Paul faced a society which, just like ours, was built on distinctions between people. He was confronted, furthermore, in Galatia by Christian people trying to perpetuate distinctions among those bearing the name of Christ. Haunted by the memory of his own past, he nonetheless insisted that in the church, such distinctions are invalidated. It's not that we cease being who we are or what we are, but through the wondrous grace of baptism, We emerge into a community that is not defined by our former distinctions. Even at this formative time in the life of the church, St. Paul recognized that we all enter the church the same way, wet, clean, and forgiven. Rich or poor, male or female, the distinctions are washed away, and we become part of the family of those baptized into Christ, a family of people with various gifts, a family so intimately related with Christ that it can be called his body. As members of this family, Christians live by the one Spirit rather than by the distinctions which apply in the world. Like the plaintive child crying to shoeless Joe Jackson of the Black Sox scandal, "Say it ain't so, Joe." I wish I could wish away John's schoolyard analysis of the world. "Say it ain't so, John." But it is so. The world is more or less the way he sees it. The rich will always be rich, the poor will always be poor, and the average will always be average. But I would like to point John to the church and say, "Here, John, it ain't necessarily so. Here we have found a better way to live, where worth and power and status are not the function of our biological history or social position or even the gifts we've been given. Here, it doesn't matter whether you like right one or right two. It doesn't matter whether you like Anglican choral music or Taizé chants. It doesn't matter whether you like praying in silent meditation or fixing up the church grounds. It doesn't matter if your ancestors came from England or Africa or Jamaica or Haiti or Dominican Republic or Spain or Belize. It doesn't matter if you are gay, bisexual, straight, transgendered, or other. It doesn't matter whether you were a founding member of St. Catherine's or just walked in the door this morning. In this place, there is a place at the table for all forever. In this place, there is a place at the table for all forever. Because here we come together, wet hair glistening with forgiveness and new life, to celebrate the one great contingent fact of God's history, that we are all one in Christ Jesus. It just seems providential that at the beginning of this interim time in the life of this congregation, we gather at the font to baptize Isadora Frances Crescentini. While baptism is the foundation of who we are, it is the foundation of our life together. When she's old enough to wonder about what we did to her today, she will want to know what kind of community she's been attached to and why she should continue with us on this journey. Let us begin today to tell her. Amen.